so much media, so little time. Who keeps tall? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball, capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. If you're old enough to remember The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, or my favorite, The Mike Douglas Show, then you're old enough to have seen a lot of The Amazing Kreskin. When Kreskin is a TV talk show guest, you see, well, amazing things happen. Wherever his skill and talent comes from, it doesn't really matter to me. He's always entertaining. But don't just take my word for it. Take the word of Tom Hanks. He's the producer of a new feature film adapted from Kreskin's life. Titled The Great Buck Howard, it opens on March 20th and stars John Malkovich as Kreskin, Howard, and Colin Hanks as his assistant. Tom Hanks is also in the film. And check out this trailer from the movie, The Great Buck Howard.
Oh, here he is.
Know who I am.
Buck did The Tonight Show 61 times.
You have to say with Johnny Carson, not the nitwit who's on there now.
I quit law school determined to do something different with my life, but that still didn't prepare me for my new job with Buck Howard.
Troy, you can toss my salad when you get back to the hotel.
I don't know what you're doing here.
The auditoriums we played in were old, usually half full, but Buck didn't seem to notice.
Welcome to Cincinnati!
I love this town.
Welcome to Wausau, Wisconsin.
I love this town. I love this town.
I'm Buck Howard.
Ow.
The minute he came out on stage, he was in his element. Everything he did, he made the impossible seem possible.
And your number is 17.
Oh, my God.
I mean, my college roommate was managing a multi-million-dollar hedge fund, and here I was helping Buck Howard with his benefits, starring Gary Coleman and the guy from the Police Academy movies. Strange thing, though, it was kind of cool.
This spring...
You've got to quit this job. You can do better. It is over for Buck, and everyone knows it but him.
What are you going to do now, kid?
I might fail miserably, but I have to at least try.
Good luck.
Comes the story of two men...
I have a boyfriend. Oh, forget I said it.
Looking to make a comeback.
We need to get you some attention right now.
If they need to see something, something I can show them. It is enormous.
The legendary mentalist Buck Howard, best known for his many appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, put some 800 people to sleep.
Suddenly, Buck was hip.
Presented the great Buck Howard.
Magnolia Pictures presents...
There was a long period of time where I wasn't hearing much about you, Buck. Suddenly you're back. You're everywhere. You're living in the fast lane.
I have to say, Colin, I've always been hip.
It's Conan. It's Conan.
John Malkovich, Colin Hanks, Emily Blunt, Steve Zahn, and Tom Hanks.
I would like to dedicate this next song to Sulu from Star Trek. May the Force be in you.
The Great Buck Howard.
I love this town!
Amazing Kreskin, welcome to Mr. Media.
I got it. Bob, did I hear you mention St. Petersburg?
You did, sir.
Yeah, my brother has lived out there for a number of years, and I get out there every once in a while. I want to tell you, your introduction, if I passed away tomorrow, I would insist that you do the intro. Talk about it. It's great to talk to you. I want to tell you, really nice to talk to you. Hey, I got to tell you, Kit, I got a kick out of the people need to realize about the movie that while the story, Bob, the story itself really is not my life. The character, as they explain at the end, and the images are really dead on. I think John Malkovich did an incredible job, don't you?
I think it looks incredible. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. When I read that this was inspired by you, I thought, I got to see this movie.
Well, you know, Bob, that Malkovich was telling me the other night at the premiere that for 3 days, after he watched a lot of videos of me and so forth, and for 3 days he was shaking hands with everybody in an energetic way and went wild over it. But you know, I gotta be honest with you, it's not an affectation. It's the way I've always shaken hands, whether it's been, you know, presidents, FBI agents, which I've been a nervous wreck doing, or the average person. But and then I heard in the previews here the remark about, isn't that wild? And I think in one point I say it to Regis in the movie, and I saw Regis the other night after, you know, doing 109 shows with him. That phrase echoes, I guess, in my mind. And I have to tell you, the Tom Hanks people, what a class group of people to work for. You know, Sean McKinley worked for me as my road manager in 1994. Hey, talk about time distortion. I think Howard's influenced me. But in 1994, and he kept saying to me while we were traveling, he said, you know, I want to write. I said, I know, Sean, you said it when we first met here in L.A. And I said, you know, just follow in the footsteps of Mark Twain, or if you, one of my favorite authors, Bram Stoker, who wrote Dracula. He worked for a drama actor in England in the 1880s, 1890s. You can write anywhere. Little did I realize, some mentalist, Bob, that he had this in mind, because while the storyline is not me, everything almost, Bob, almost everything that happens on stage happened during the time that he was working for me. As a matter of fact, people who know me are now playing games, watch the movie. There are 31 separate incidents or factors that all relate back to me beyond the handshake and the isn't that wild. And you know, I got to say one more thing. How many people here? I've traveled the world. As of a few months ago, I've now flown a little over, as of 5 months ago, a little over 3 million miles. But how many people would have a movie, a character based on them, unless they've committed mass murder, maybe done a Ponzi scheme, or been dead for 20 years, right, Bob?
Well, yeah, or been a superhero.
You don't want to get me in that. Hey, listen, I'm too afraid of heights. I remember, because I've worked a lot at Disney World, when space flight first opened, they said, well, of course, Creston, you'll be our guest as one of the first passengers. In that crazy roller coaster, well, I was on it, and after that, Bob, I don't think I stayed in a hotel more than four stories high. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only joking.
Well, how did the involvement of Hanks and Malkovich come about? I mean, those are some pretty big names here on this film.
You know, Bob, I did not know that they had John Malkovich in mind when they were talking about the play and the story. And going over with me some of the details, I think, please forgive me, I'm only home about 4 days a month, and I don't get to see many movies. I've only seen one or two with it, but he really is a brilliant actor, and he really enters into the roles. A lot of times great actors play themselves constantly, but I think he entered into it, and I guess I don't even know who picked them. I only know that Tom Hanks the other night was quite, I was very happy in what he had to say to me personally, and I couldn't work with a better group of people. But as you know, and we don't want to reveal quite the climax of the movie, but as you know, Bob, and all the listeners know who've seen me through the years on television, one of the key features of my performances, and that's whether a show is in a theater or a Carnegie Hall was like 3,500 people. The last summer, a fair in Canada, in Ottawa, Canada, was in the thousands. In fact, it was the largest turnout they said they'd ever had on a Wednesday night for this outdoor fair. Or I can tell you CEOs that have me now in their private homes of only 40, 50 people. But in all these shows, whether I'm in Vegas or what have you, I turn my check over to the audience. Mm-hmm. And I leave the theater or the auditorium under guard, and so that people can verify that there's no stooges or electronic devices, what have you. And the committee hides my check anywhere in the theater. Now, when I come back in, this is not a guessing game. It's really not a magic act. It has nothing to do with magic. It has to be with the fact that they must concentrate on what they've done and focus it in their mind. And, Bob, if I don't find my fee, I don't get paid. Would you not agree that's a hell of a way to make a living?
I couldn't do it.
Well, let me tell you some of the crazy places. By the way, because you know it becomes a very dramatic pivotal point in the movie. I have failed 9 times, and people will say that's not many out of 6,000 times, but there are some certain incidents that do dwell in my mind to the day I die. And one was in New Zealand, which I've been back to many times, one of my favorite parts of the world. But the first time there, one night was at an outdoor fair. It was an arena. I don't know how many thousands. And I came back into the arena, and the bottom line is I failed to find my fee. And that we had a press conference the next morning at the theater that was covered nationally throughout the country, because in that one night I lost a little over $51,000.
Wow.
But on the other side of the coin, I can tell you crazy places. Once for a private affair for the FBI, I entered the banquet hall, and you could hear a pin drop. Needless to say, with the FBI, they were all looking at me with considerable suspicion, as friends of mine would say, well warranted. But seriously, I walk up to one agent. He's on the dais at the banquet table, and I looked at him, and I had him stand. I opened his jacket and I reached in his pocket. There was no check, so I walked away, and I came back maybe 5-6 more times, and I really was about to throw in the towel, because every time I came back, I opened his jacket, and you know, thank God, at least my eyes were all right. I opened the jacket again. I saw this tiny thread sticking out of the side of his jacket, and I looked at him. He said to me, Kreskin, whatever you need to do, you have my permission. He didn't tell me anything more. I reached for his jacket pocket inside his suit, pulled the lining of the pocket, and ripped his inside lining all the way down to the bottom of his jacket. They had a shoemaker, tailor, stitch the check in the bottom, knowing I would never rip his jacket. The craziest was one of the craziest was a few weeks ago in New Jersey, outside of Princeton. It was a private affair for a corporate man, and it was a small private house of about 50, 60 people. And I went up to this man sitting in one of the living room couches, I guess, and I looked at him and I said, sir, this is going to be crazy. Do you have an artificial leg? And the people around him gasped. He said, yes, I do. I said, is your right leg? He said, yes. I said, can I lift a trouser? He said, you go ahead. I lifted a trouser, and inside the joint of the machinery of his knee was the check.
Wow. It's amazing. I mean, what else?
By the way, Bob, the Hanks people did not pay me that way. I'm only kidding.
Well, I was going to say is that I would bet that once the movie comes out, that fee will go skyward, and you'll make up the 9 that you missed.
You know, boy, you know, I should have you as my manager. You just said one of the most inspiring things I've heard since yesterday, Bob. You know what's crazy, and you can understand this, and your listeners can. Some of the universities, and last year I did 198 appearances around the world, and maybe 60 or 70 were in universities, like Rutgers. I've been at Rutgers 18 years. Do you know, if I ever came back and said, well, I'm going to leave that out of the program, there'd be protest, because, as you can understand, they connive from year to year as to how they're going to be more diabolical the next year. So the day I walk into in University of Illinois, and it was a gymnasium because we had 8,000 people, and you could hear a pin drop. Now, you got to understand, this place is packed. The bleachers are filled on the tarp on the floor. They had folding chairs of about 1,000 people. And I walk up to a man in the audience. He was an older man, and this was a family night, so there were parents and the students there. And I had him stand up, and I looked at him, and I said, sir, this is insane. Would you open your mouth? Well, there was no check. I said, does this have to do with the roof of your mouth? Bob, to this day, I will never forget the screaming of the audience as he reached into his mouth, took out his upper plates, and handed me his check.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I might have to say pass on that one.
Well, guess what? They issued a new check, Bob.
Oh, good. But, I'm very glad to hear that.
But, you know, all the things, even the way Malkovich walks, I mean, these are things you wouldn't notice maybe as much, except for people who've been with me for years or maybe other TV hosts. But he seems to have captured it all. It's ironic that you mention people in my past like Mike Douglas, because night before last, Cindy Adams was interviewing Tom Hanks, and he kept saying, you know, that all the shows I appeared on Mike Douglas, which were 118 shows, and Carson really wasn't 61, it was 88 shows, and Griffin was, we think it's over 100, but no one has been able to count them. In the case of Johnny, there's a great bitterness because when he left for L.A., he reminded me that all those shows were being put away. NBC had erased or gotten rid of most of the New York shows, and when you look at the priceless finds that must have taken place during those years, you know what I mean, Bob?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, is it difficult to watch Malkovich pretending to be you? I mean, is it ever painful to see some of that?
It was difficult. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that as God is my judge, I have never said in all the years of television, you know, I've done 109 shows with Regis and on, you can mention Howard Stern and a lot of shows in recent months with Fox and so forth. But it's a disarming experience. I've seen Carson did the character Karnak is a satire of me. There's a story behind that which I can tell you, but I've never seen anybody really who intended to emulate me, and it really threw me. And it's the first time I've ever really talked about this, but I was in a theater in New York, a private theater, and it was two of Tom Hanks' key people who were brought the film in and wanted me to see the finished version, but they sat behind me. They said, Preston, one of the ladies said, Preston, we were afraid to see your expression. It really threw me. It didn't unnerve me, but it threw me because you think about this. Only way I can express this, Bob, you think about this yourself, and all of you who are listening to my voice, all I can relate, and I tell this to close friends of mine, imagine going up to a TV set, turning it on, and as the electricity heats up the screen, what you're seeing is really not quite yourself, but it is yourself because it sounds like you, moves like you, and you hear phrases that are you. Can you imagine how you'd feel, Bob?
It would be weird.
It was really weird. that's the first time I've ever said that, the first time I've ever expressed that, but it is, and you know, I've had satires of me. It's kind of so neat to see how many times I've on one of the New York police investigation shows that's been on for years, the writers tell me that they usually mention my name about one out of every four times, and a lot of shows, but you know, at least so far in these shows that refer to me and use my name, I haven't been referred to as a child killer, a Ponzi scheme artist, or any of those, right, Bob?
you mean a Madoff scheme?
Well, you know, Bob, I got to tell you, Bob, I don't want to get involved in politics, but I have every year I go on broadcasts and make predictions for the coming year, and one of the more meaningful was last December, December of 2008, and I would not make it public because you get involved in politics, you alienate half your audience. I think a lot of entertainers need to realize this. So they did seal it at my prediction of the election, which was obviously 11 months later, in a safe at the World Bar next to the United Nations. What better place to discuss politics but in the United Nations next to a bar? In fact, it's raising the level of politics higher than it should be to have it in a bar. But anyway, I had predicted that Obama would win, and at that time, Giuliani and Clinton and others were favored. So I've made some dramatic predictions that have unnerved me, but I think one of the most unnerving was about 2 years ago when Canada was having an election of a liberal. He was running for office again, and one of the main news, evening news, 6 o'clock news broadcasters flew me in and said, we talked to you a week ago, we want you to get a shot. And I studied all the election, but this was 30 days earlier, and I predicted that the liberal would win again, but I said, I don't think he's going to do that well. It's going to be only like 135 seats. Well, I was flown in for the election night, and Bob, I want to tell you, one of the most unnerving, uncomfortable, miserable nights of my life was sitting in my hotel watching an election in another country unfold when I knew who I predicted, thinking, dear God, if I fail, should I jump out the window? But they got to have cameras there. So it turns out they brought me on their Today Show the next morning, AM Canada, and I had predicted the correct winning, and I predicted the amount of seats. And as the audience was applauding, I blurted out, for to this day, a reason I do not know. I said, if ever this administration collapses, it will be 14 months from now, and he will never be elected again. And I stopped. We went to commercial break. I ran over to the producer. I said, what a stupid, asinine remark. He says, are you kidding, Chris? Kidding? We're getting calls from everywhere. You have hit up the lines. This is causing more work. I said, but I stuck my neck out. Bob, months ago, I came back from a trip to New Jersey, walked into my office, and the message machine was blinking extremely rapidly. There were 80-some messages. They were all from Canadian broadcasters and writers. The government had fallen. It was one of the worst disasters in Canadian history, and I was off by 5 days, and he was never elected again.
Wow. And is there anything that you'd care to predict today while we have you on the line? Anything you're thinking?
Well, now you get into something that's very difficult, quite to handle. But because I've been interviewed considerably in the past month about the recession, because I, unfortunately, with the bailout, I said it would last longer, and we won't see the complete coming out of it for about 4.5 years, although we're going to see the light in 2010. But maybe what I should share with you is what I said. I've said in some interviews lately. They said, if you had your way, Kreskin, how would you change this? I don't offend any politicians. I would simply throw out every goddamn member of Congress and the Senate, everyone on their asses, because you cannot blame this on one party. This was coming for 15 years. I predicted this 4 years ago when I sensed then that Obama would win. I won't go into it now. There was an article that interviewed me then. And go back to what our founding fathers said, the great people like Ben Franklin and what have you. If you read their writings, they said, this is not a job. This was not to be meant all attorneys. The people in Congress and the legislature should be clerks, salesmen, farmers, people from all walks of life in this great country to give something back for a couple of years, which the way it's done, by the way, in Israel, the way it's done in many parts of the world. And when they finish, they're never to be paid a penny. They're to go back into their private life. You know, when George Washington was asked to run for president again, he says, no, I go back into private life. So what one reporter said to me, well, I understand what you're saying, Kreskin, but you disrobe Congress and you bring people who have no experience. What mistakes could they make? And my answer caused dead silence. My answer was this: could they do any more harm than our representatives who purport to represent us have done to us?
Hmm. I can't answer that, but I see your point. Kreskin, we've got a caller here. Let me see. Hi, sure. Do you have a question or comment for Amazing Kreskin?
Yeah. Hey, Kreskin. My name is Vince.
How are you, Vince?
Hey, I've been following you for many, many years. I used to live in Canada. I used to watch your show all the time, and then I moved to California. And in fact, one of my most impressive memories of you was you were on the Howard Stern show once, and Sam Kinison at that time, you know, had passed. You took a few guys just
off
the street,
yes,
and you brought his soul into their bodies. And I couldn't, you know, of course, radio, you can't see it, but from what I heard, you had the tables flying and everything. There was just, and I was listening to these guys, and it was absolutely amazing and brilliant.
Thank you, Vince. You know, Vince, I got to tell you, Howard repeated that 3 months ago. He had a two-hour, one hour was an in-depth interview with me, but the other was the seance. And you are right. You are quite right, Vince. Those people were taken off the street. By the way, I did that once on the Carson show, and Carson called a month later and said, I want you to come back. I want you to do it over again, he says, because I can't believe what happened. Those tables were rocking. Oh, and I don't know if you heard some of the screaming, because a couple of the tables flipped over and landed on the floor. And do you remember also that one or two people on the show felt they were being possessed by Sam Kinison? You remember that part of it?
Oh, I listened to the whole thing. I remember everything that happened. It was absolutely brilliant. And in fact, one skeptic that worked on Howard Stern's show, and he said, "Oh, I could do it. I know how he did it." And he tried doing it, and Howard was just laughing at him and said, "You're crazy."
Yeah, Howard has an interesting way of handling people that call in that are skeptics of me. One man, and by the way, I gotta tell you, we go. This is a running gag. When I come on Howard's show, you don't see this. He walks behind the set and kneels on the floor. He says, "Every time you're on, I have to hire my chiropractor for two more days. It's because of my handshake." But Vince, thank you for calling in, Vince. And if I'm appearing in your area, you come by and say hello and mention Howard Seance, and I'll remember you talking to me here.
Okay, I will. But I just wanted to quickly ask one question. Do you do predictions for just regular people like myself?
Vince, you know, I don't unless I meet the person. I'm really not a prophet in that. I read people's thoughts. So a lot of the things I predicted really deal with universal factors and phenomena. But I'll tell you one thing. Just hear this. You're originally from Canada?
Yes.
Canada's my second home. I have a love affair with Canada because my television series started on the CTV in Canada, if you'll remember.
I do.
And in the first and second year was the second highest rated program in the nation before we then went on to do 2 years in England, and it was seen all over the world. It is my second home, and good success to you. You take care of yourself.
You too, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Vince. Thanks for calling in. Chris, I want to ask you two things. I know you've got to get going. I want to ask you two things. One of my producers says that he encountered you some time ago and that you have a great John Lennon story. Is that something we can squeeze in here?
How did he know? How did he know about the? Do you know what the story is?
I don't. He shot me a note while we've been talking. Said, "Ask Kreskin about John Lennon."
Ask your producer to hand you two words that would trigger it off. I know what I'm going to say, but I wonder. There's two stories. I wonder which one he knows. Ask him to hand you two words. Now, while he's doing that, what's the other thing you're going to ask me? Because then I'll tell you about John Lennon. What's the other thing?
The other thing is, I wondered if you have predicted what the box office for The Great Buck Howard's first weekend will be.
I love that. Bob, I can't say that, but I got to tell you something. I got to say this to your listeners, and it reflects in the call from Vince. Bob, I've not said this about movies through the years, and I'm not saying this just because the movie is based on my image and what have you. I think, aside from the success of this movie, and we're thrilled about the interest and the attention, I think this is going to become a cult cult. You know, certain movies do through the years. I travel all around. I know how people think. People are calling me from different parts of the world, parts of Canada, in the business, and want to see it and then talk about it. Do you know what I mean by saying, Bob, it could become a cult fascination?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And forgive me, I guess I shouldn't say that because it sounds egotistic, but I don't mean it in that way. It's just that there's a combined factor. I just feel the marriage between Malkovich and myself came about so readily, and I have a real, not long ago, I have a real bond with Tom Hanks. There's a tremendous, and here, the guy who directed and wrote it 10-15 years ago was, and you know, I got to tell you this, listen to when I saw him after all these years, not long ago, he not only asked about my mom, remember the street we were, remembered incidents and details, so I guess he wasn't kidding me that I had some impact on his life. So, you know, this will be interesting. And, you know, the only way to look at this when we talk about this, and at the end of this conversation, let's just think this way, Bob. I'm not going to say goodbye to you. I'm going to say to be continued. How does that sound?
That sounds good. And here's the word on the John Lennon. He says either an orb or a sculpture. Does that mean anything?
Yes. Yes. Now, listen, how does he know about – well, anyway, there's Lennon's a man who worked for me as a road manager had a job. This is after he was married, and when you're married, it's tough being a road manager unless your wife is willing not to see you for sometimes 6 weeks at a time. But anyway, he was setting Lennon's apartment. Yoko was there up for a security. Well, I'll make it very, very quick. But there was something inside the apartment. And I did not know that Steve had gone there and all this jazz. And a few days later, I got a call from Steve. I said, Steve, you know how crazy things happen to me, all this jazz. And I said, you know, I knocked over some figure, what have you. And I said, now, don't laugh at me. I was half awake. You know, I was working somewhere last night. I didn't even knock anything. There was nothing even there. He says, what do you mean? Describe it to me. And guess what? When he was working in the apartment, something he had to deal with and move was a description of what I had when I woke up in the morning, knocked over, that I never saw in my life, never knocked over, never touched in my life, but it was an actual image. And I didn't talk to him until hours later. Not until hours later. Anyway, you know something? Yeah. You know something? There's another story, too, which he made, but I'm not going to go into that now. Don't get the wrong idea, Bob. Folks, I'm not dangerous to be around. Maybe, Bob, if I carry something, or if the lighting isn't good in your kitchen, I might knock over a plate. But I'm fairly safe, providing I'm conscious and haven't been drinking too much cranberry juice.
Well, listen, folks, the great Buck Howard is based in part on the life of the amazing Kreskin. The movie opens on March 20th, but you can already download it for a three-day rental on Amazon.com. And to catch the amazing Kreskin when he comes to your town, go to www.amazingkreskin.com. Amazing Kreskin, thank you so much for joining us at Mr. Media today. It was great fun.
Bob, take care, and to be continued.
To be continued, sir. Take care. Well, for more interviews with amazing pop culture figures, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with everyone from John Denver and Gene Simmons to Billy Bob Thornton and Guy Kawasaki and many more. Please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, MySpace, Bebo, High Five, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Podcast, Pickle, Box, Folio, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, or Odeo. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. It's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day to spend it with us.